I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah.
And welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast.
I won't change my mind because I don't have to, because I'm an American.
Yes, you are. And through the other side of the ether, I'm Wesley Sykes. Wow, I haven't screwed that up. It's been so long, Nick. I am Wesley Sykes. And through the other side of the ether is the Socrates to my Plato. It's Mr. Nicholas J. Eskfryer, Greek philosopher for hire. God damn it.
Oh, man. You...
That's so bad. That's so bad. You can't go two sentences without skipping over words.
If it makes you feel better, I don't know. I cannot remember for the life of me who came first between Socrates and Plato. And I know there's a third one in there.
I think it was Plato and then Socrates.
Plato and then Socrates. Is Archimedes one too? Or am I just
making it up? He could have been in the philosophy school there.
Yeah, he's somebody. I know there's an Archimedes in Tarzan. Is Archimedes Q. Porter? Is that right?
Yeah, I think, yeah. No, I have no idea what you're talking about here.
I'm close. No, there is an Archimedes, and he is an ancient Greek mathematician and blah, 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 blah. Okay, cool. All right.
I am not the person in the DSG to double check all of this information. I think there is a classical major somewhere in that group there that we can turn to for these answers.
You sure about that?
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? But this week, following what felt like a forever hiatus, but it's just a mini one in reality here, we're catching up on everything that we've been watching lately. Thank you, Norris the Terrible. Thank you to Mac and Goo for passing that along as well. But before we get to all that, I don't have an intro question, but Nick has an intro question. The married man coming back, just taking charge. I got an intro question coming right off the jump. So hit me with it.
Well, I just have to, because as I was in Greece to the west of me, as you and I are trying to work through,
we were trying to figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. To the west of me, apparently everybody's thinking about the Roman Empire, had no idea this was a thing. So Wes, I need to ask you, how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
You know, not enough. I think there's, if you go into certain corners of Twitter, there's often comparisons to the fall of the Roman Empire and to what's going on now. You know, other than those, I don't have organic thoughts of it. It's usually something that I see when I'm scrolling Twitter and then it pops into my mind, but I'm not like sitting on the toilet like, wow, thank God for the plumbing system that the Romans started.
Yeah, I'm very confused by this whole craze. Like, I've seen a bunch of the TikToks now and everything, and I can't help but wonder, are some of these guys just like making it up? Because it doesn't seem real.
Some are, you know, like I imagine when you get older, and this is happening for me, but not, I'm getting older, but I'm not really falling into this trend, but people go into a deep history trend, you know, especially guys, World War II, World War I, and then you get further and back. But I think people like to go with like the more recent wars or the Civil War or something like that, the American Revolution. But I think people do go back and watch the, you know, think of the Roman stuff like that. But something that did come to mind that I do think of are the Roman aqueducts and the feat of that with the arches, the arched architecture that they would have. I think that was pretty revolutionary. And then like building things in water, like how they were able to do that. It is pretty fascinating. Whether it's the Roman Empire or the ancient Egyptians, their ability to move dirt and move these huge pillars of stone is just incredible, because just doing small projects in my backyard, I'm like, how does this get done? You know, it's like, it's hard.
Yes. And you're a maker of fire now over there at the Sykes household too.
Chopping wood. You know, it is almost fall time here. So I got my flannel, got my L.L. Bean duck boots on, and I'm just chopping wood.
Blasting country.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking TikTok videos, so I look sexy for everyone. no music.
I've seen a few of those before. but yeah, I when this came up, I was trying to think, do I ever? And as a, okay, I think about 300, but like, nope, that's the Spartans. That's Greeks. Like if there's, if I think about either, it's the Greeks more so. And even then it's more about their, like their, the myths and whatnot, like, and their, the gods. And half the time, I'm like, am I thinking of Greeks or am I thinking of the Roman gods? Just because, you know, obviously the same ones, but different names, but no, it's always, I always think about them in their Greek names, Zeus, Hermes, Aphrodite, and so on.
The Greek gods are definitely the more popular of the two, right? And everything kind of derives from that. Even the Norse, Nordic religion, I guess, draws from that. Mythology draws from that as well, right?
They're
there's a lot of similarity or crossover there.
100%. Yeah, but I don't get
senators and having like people, you know, a collective group of people deciding, you know, the state rule, country rule. That's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting stuff.
I will say the other time I ever think of it is whenever people talk about, you know, this used to happen a lot in like high school when people would say like, we live in a democracy. And it's like, well, no, we live in a democratic republic. Like a true democracy was invented by the Greeks. And that is what that was. We do not have that, but that's like a very specific instance where I think about it. So I get it with all the history stuff. I was a history minor in college. I don't talk about it a lot, but like, I do like history quite a bit. I just do not understand this for the life of me.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. The other big question that kind of came up here as we're catching up on things that we've missed during our mini hiatus is girl dinner. Have you heard about this?
No.
When girls are left to fend for themselves for dinner, you know, your wife, your girlfriend, whomever, or maybe they're going out with a couple of girls for a girls' night. Girl dinner consists of like snacking or like maybe like meat and cheese, a dessert. And then in between is like two bottles of wine, you know, that sort of, like, it's not like a real meal. But when you eat by yourself, do you make real meals? Like, do you cook or do you have like a wrap or a sandwich or something that is like more aligns to a meal?
When I was single, basically my eating consisted of eggs, spinach, and the occasional mixed in meats. Like, but yeah, so I had a very weird eating pattern, but I did not.
But that's like real food, though. You know, it's not like my wife will do this, and like we'll get like to 5-6 o'clock, and she's like, all I've had is a couple of goldfish and a granola bar today. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I just can't wrap my brain around it.
Yeah. And then that's like, and she's taking it to another level of like not eating much at all. Like she'll, my wife will snack, but like she'll eat enough, you know what I mean? She'll take care of herself. Yeah. So it's like, it's a thing. There's no question about that.
I would like to know what goes into their mind when they think, oh, let's just pick at things, you know, a charcuterie board here or chips and guac and then three margaritas. And then I'll just stumble off the bar.
Charcuterie boards, we should bring, if we want insight on that, Shyam, I think can help us there. But I do.
Sure. Charcuterie Shyam, that's what we always call him.
Yes, that's very true. Of course, everybody knows that. I lost what I was going to say. Oh, no, you know, I don't like going and making these big ass meals though for myself when it's just me. Do you?
No. I usually make what I call human dog food. It'll just be like chicken, rice, and like veggies.
Okay.
Oh, it's all kind of like chopped and mixed up and stuff.
No, yeah, I have something. We've talked about this before. I have something similar too that I used to call stir fry, but I mean, it's, let's be honest here. It had Worcestershire sauce in it, so that's how I call it.
Yeah, ground beef, like minute rice and frozen vegetables, like stuff like that. Like that, just be quick to cook up, and then I can just shovel it in my mouth over the sink.
See, and this is why at the end, like, why don't we all just come together and just have a whole bunch of nonsense? I will say this, though. After eating in Greece, like, the food there was amazing.
And I'm sure.
Wes, would you venture, like, if you were thinking someone was going away on their honeymoon for a couple weeks, would you expect them to come back and gain weight, lose weight, or stay the same?
You know, I hear this all the time, but you do so much walking when you're overseas, you know, and then there's so much less crap in, European food compared to American food. So with that type of thing, also with the wine, you get sulfate free wine, so you don't feel as hungover. You can drink more. There's a whole different even like process of fermenting the wine there that is supposed to be better for you. It's like all of that stuff. So I would imagine that you stayed the same or lost some weight.
Well, you are far more educated on it than I am. I was expecting to maintain, but I dairy and I don't always get along, and I did not hold back while I was there. So I was curious, and I still lost 3 pounds. Friggin' insane.
Feta though, feta is a little different. Would that still bother you, even if you like you ate it here?
I don't know. Honestly,
if that's like cultured the same way.
I've never knowingly tested the whole feta thing out, but I will say,
I'm a big feta fan. Love feta cheese.
I will say I got my full fix of sulfur, though. You brought that up because we were swimming in – we got to dive into the Aegean.
I misspoke. Sulfates. S-U-L-F-A-T-E-S. Yeah. Okay. But sulfur. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, no. We did this thing where it was like a little like day trip around the whole caldera and everything. And part of it was swimming in the hot springs by the volcanoes. Mm-hmm. And they weren't hot, though. I was very confused by that. The water was clearly a different, clearer color there. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't.
Was it like
hot.
Lukewarm bath water sort of thing? Room temperature?
It was cold. Oh. Like I would say, like compared to where else we swam, it was like definitely the coldest swim of them all. It was very odd.
Maybe you have to pee first to kind of get it going.
Oh, you know what? That would have. And I definitely went to the bathroom. I'm in the ocean. I'm in the Aegean Sea. And I go to the bathroom before I get in the water.
Oh, no, you got to leave your mark. You got to let all the Greek sea creatures know that, like, hey, Nick Fryer is here. I'm planting my seed.
Yeah, that's how Atlantis got.
That's true. Maybe you could have got a rebirth there, but, you know, now we'll never know.
Okay, well, that just ruined my whole outlook on my trip.
All right, let's shift gears over to trending now.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Nick, you found this. You got a little update on the writer's strike, maybe coming to an end.
Yes. So we saw that they were told they got their best. They're getting their best and final offer. This came out shortly before we were convening. And then we found out that the Writers Guild is in the process of finalizing this deal with the powers that be. So Disney and all these CEOs, I forget the other like official name that they've been going by. But yeah, this is a great sign. Obviously we want the right. Like I've been very big on saying, like, we want the writers to get what they're asking for.
Go get your money.
Yeah. And it's not just money, but I'm hoping that there's a level of protection when it comes to the whole AI stuff, because that's another concern in the course of all this too. But in the end, if they're taking it, then I got to assume that they're getting protection on that front, because they've been standing pretty fast throughout this whole process. But that means we should be getting stuff, you know, hopefully all the sooner, because it felt like this was going to take a lot longer than it has.
Yeah. Now this news may have just debunked what I'm about to say, but over the last couple of weeks or so, I remember reading somewhere an interesting theory about why this writer and actor strike was going on for as long as it has. And it kind of surrounded around, again, getting higher pay wages and everyone assuming that there's this huge cash flow coming in from its streaming platforms, right? Everyone, all of these companies now have their own streaming arm, whether it's Paramount Plus, Hulu, attached with NBC, ABC, with Disney, all that stuff, right? Mm. But we don't really get any sort of concrete statistics, data on how many people are watching, what's the most popular show, how many subscriptions are there, you know, and the analytics behind it are kind of like mysterious, right? You go off of, like, I don't know what it's called, Rubu TV, or there's some service that kind of measures it, but it's not like a hard science. It's kind of a guessing game. So the thought was that all of these companies are losing incredible amounts of money on their streaming service, but there's this nebulous way that they can kind of hide that between like, oh, we had 14 million views. Well, what's a view compared to a watch compared to, you know, like all these different metrics, to hide the fact that they're losing money. And with this writer's strike coming on, they're asking for more money, which means they would have to open up their books and be more transparent with them, which would show to their shareholders, who they've been trying to keep in the dark all this time, that they actually don't have any money. And this, like, shell game that these Hollywood companies and production studios have been using with these streaming services was about to come to a head at some point. They're going to have to be like, all right, we're actually in the red here. We're not making as much money. We're not doing as well as we've been saying. But again, like I started off this whole diatribe with, maybe that's all mute now, but I thought that was an interesting theory.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Obviously, I don't know. I don't know the details of the deal. I don't know if that's going to come out or if it has come out and we just haven't seen it. But I wouldn't necessarily like. I wouldn't necessarily poo-poo that even now, like especially before the deal got put into place. But now, who knows? Like maybe they had to be fully transparent and explain all of this, and maybe that's where the writers had to be like, okay, well, just don't fuck us over when it comes to AI. But it's very like that theory does make a lot of sense when you.
It would be funny because everyone would be like, you know, everyone's shaming the production companies for like, you're being so greedy, and they're like, there's actually no money there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like where coming off greedy, it actually makes them look somewhat better than what that reality would be, is that they're actually broke.
And there wasn't it announced like while over our little hiatus that is it Prime or somebody's going to be doing like an ad, like inserting ads into their stuff now too?
Oh, they have like a lower tier.
I think the tier payment. That I think it was that the tier we're all at now. I think it was Prime. The tier that we're all at now will have ads, and then you have to pay like $2 more a month to not get ads.
Come on, Bezos. Quit bending me over.
But see, if these things continue happening, I just, again, can't help but like, especially when you're laying all that stuff out, that theory, which does make a lot, like, makes sense when you explain it. I mean, are we going to lose streaming? Like, I would hate to see that happen, but, you know, we'll be fine if it's the case. But I just can't help but wonder if we're going to lose it or if it's going to, you know, if it, like, could this be how Netflix beats out a Disney Plus? And then,
yeah, I mean, listen, I think the streaming services were at their best when it's like not trying to produce original content all the time. Like, give me old movies, old TV shows. That's all for me, that's all I really do anyway. That's the appeal for Disney Plus, to go really for me to go back and watch all the old Disney Channel movies or Marvel movies or whatever, you know, to go back and watch 30 Rock, The Office on Peacock, on Hulu, you know, It's Always Sunny on Hulu and stuff like that. Old movies on HBO Max. Like, you know, that's the appeal for me. So like the new content doesn't really get me as much. It's almost like they get lost in the sea of everything else.
Yeah,
I just end up going back to what I know because there's so much unknown out there that I'm like, I get paralyzed making a decision.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's no question. That was the prime. And that was when it was just Netflix. And then I think Hulu entered the game. And then I think Prime entered the game. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, I can see it where like some of the like maybe with an HBO with a Max. Maybe that stays, yeah. and maybe Netflix, that's all Netflix is, but I maybe Prime. I don't know. I'm just, I feel like some of these are going to fade. They're going to, if that theory is correct,
the Prime, I think has an advantage just through Amazon and having like the 2-day shipping kind of ship, you know, built in there. So I think that's kind of an advantage for them more than the other ones.
That could be where Prime outlasts a Netflix.
I saw some map, a breakdown of, you know, each country's most popular streaming service, and it was Amazon Prime.
Like everywhere or in America?
In America, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm curious. So again, this is where we start talking about metrics. So maybe, right, I'm assuming that means more people have that than anything else, but how many people watch that?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, this is where it just gets... Like everything else, you can numbers, you can always make them look good in some way, shape, or form.
Men lie, women lie, numbers do lie sometimes.
Yes. Yep,
there we go.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Found this a couple weeks ago, Nick. The Aquaman 2 trailer. Speaking of Atlantis, man, this looks like a huge pile of shit.
Yeah, I mean, look.
You got octopuses playing the drums. Cool idea, but this looks like way too much CGI.
Yeah, it does look like there's a lot of CGI. The only thing that may help me going in to see this movie is I like Momoa.
Not a big Momoa fan.
Oh, well, I'll be talking more Momoa when we get to our main topic.
I know.
But the other thing is I just always perpetually have low expectations for Aquaman.
It made $1 billion.
Yeah, I know. It's just the character, I mean, specifically. So, I don't know. It's not going to get that much of a break for me because obviously it was pretty decent the first time around. Like, mm-hmm. I had a fun time and didn't expect it to be great. So,
I don't think I made it through the first one. I think I've seen the movie in almost all of its entirety, just watching different parts of it when I catch it.
We did an episode on it. Are you sure?
Did we?
I'm fairly certain we did an episode on it.
Every time I watch it, I was like, I feel like I only get like 20 or 30 minutes at a time.
The only episode that I can, there's only one episode that I can recall where you didn't watch what we were talking about. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was Detective Pikachu.
Yes, it was. Yeah, Look at that.
I think about that actually more often than the Roman Empire.
weren't you at my condo that day? Like, didn't we record it at my place? Am I wrong? Am I
thinking that part? Maybe that was at BSM.
Maybe that's what it was.
I don't know. But yeah. It was in the early days.
It was.
Well, you know, we all make mistakes early on here.
I wouldn't call it a mistake anymore. It's funny.
Yeah, it wasn't a mistake so much as a conscious decision to not go see the movie. And I was like, I'll figure it out somewhere.
Sometimes you just got to mail it in, Mac. Is there audio for that too?
No, I know. We got to get that. Yeah, we got to get the mailman sounder there. Aquaman 2, though, yeah, this is another dead-in-the-water property, no pun intended, that, like, I just don't really care about. Again, never really cared about Aquaman.
Yeah.
Not a big Momoa fan, but who knows, you know? Maybe if there's more Amber Heard in this, I'll be happy.
If there's – I forget his brother's name, Ocean Master, but I forget the actor's. Is it Patrick? No, I don't remember what it is.
Patrick Stewart, Patrick Wilson.
It's Patrick Wilson. I almost said Patrick Stewart originally too, but definitely not him. But Patrick Wilson, like, he's back in the mix, and then we see Black Manta is back in the mix as well. I'm blanking on that actor's name, but it's the guy I believe who played Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen show. Mm-hmm. But I get it that those are his like major villains, but at the same time, really.
Yeah,
we're just gonna flip it where one other guy's gonna be more central and like the other guy's gonna be kind of good now.
Yeah, and this one's a little bit stronger and he came back from the dead and all that stuff, right? He's living in Maine, having a good life.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. That's accurate.
Yeah, no, that's a sweet life. Mm-hmm. One last thing in trending now.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Saw this on Twitter or X, depending on what you prefer to call it here. Season 7 trailer for Rick and Morty just came out today. We're not huge Rick and Morty fans. I like the show here, but I don't think we really talk about it all that often on the program. Kind of gone down in recent years. It's a show that kind of stays in my my rotation and my queue. But the popularity for it, I think, has gone down. But the reason why I put this on here, they have two new voices, or at least one new voice for Rick and Morty, after the lead character and creator of the show, Justin Roiland, was fired for sending off weird tweets to young girls.
Yeah. Because I'm looking at his Wikipedia right now because he was arrested for stuff. I'm not a Rick and Morty guy, period. Like, I've never watched a single episode.
It's a funny show. Yeah.
Right, I mean, I know you, I know the rest of the DSG raves about it, and I know you like it, but I mean, that trailer was probably the most I've ever watched of it, other than like was it a Super Bowl commercial that they had a while back?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really it, so like, I remember seeing like, oh, there's new voice actors, the creator left and everything, or co-creator left, so I don't really have much of a stance on this.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good, pretty close to it. So to what Justin Roiland was, maybe slight differences, but once I think that any sort of disruption in the show goes away pretty quickly. I think.
Yeah, it seems like he has a lot that's gone on with him since 2020.
Jeez. Yeah. COVID didn't treat him very well there. So, but get a little bit of new content heading, amidst this writer's strike here. So that's always good to see.
Yes, this is true. Yes. So I feel like we've gotten a, You know what's interesting? We've gotten like a decent amount of like the we haven't gotten a ton of stuff recently, but we've gotten some good stuff. And obviously one of those is Ahsoka, which we'll talk about in a bit. But it's just, it's interesting to see, like, and then we're going to get Loki soon. I'm just curious, like, it'd be nice to see if we see I'm curious how the viewers respond to this kind of period of not as much content, more spread out movies and shows, because if more people are watching it, I'm not saying I want, again, like, obviously I was very much on the writer's strike side of it, but I think that they would feel similarly in that maybe spend more time in making quality products instead of and getting more money on those things, as opposed to constantly having to do a bunch of different shit all the friggin' time, because we lose quality. We've talked about that plenty on this show. So I'm just curious how the viewers respond to this period where hopefully we get some good stuff.
The age-old quality over quantity question, you know? It's one we'll never know.
Never. It's morphin' time!
Ah, a superb choice.
The return. Say goodbye, Twitter, as well. Say bye.
Bye, Twitter. All right, so we have the comic book minute. Sorry, I got a little thrown off there. So this week we got a few. I've been catching up on a ton of stuff. Got a few new trades in the hopper now that I can't wait to talk about. We do have October coming up, so we're going to be doing some horror stuff on the show. But for now, from Boom this week, we got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers issue 112. This is the next chapter in, I believe it's the Darkest Hour event. Basically, Rita Repulsa has won. So things are kind of getting a little shitty for the Rangers. Been interesting so far. From DC, we got Batman, Catwoman, Gotham War, Red Hood issue 1. I got to catch up on the Gotham War because Joe has read the first couple issues of this first is 2 or 3. And Red Hood, Red Hood issue is the only like spin-off story. Everything's kind of set in the Catwoman and Batman mainline stories. But this Red Hood one is a spinoff because he's at the center of things. And Joe has told me that Red Hood apparently is back. There's been a period where he's kind of been softened up. They took his guns away. They've made him less violent, less more hero-like and less anti-hero, fringe villain-like.
Okay.
And now it seems like he's going in the other direction. So I absolutely need to get in on this event. And of course, it's very timely too, because Keith and I are going to be talking all Red Hood this week with Joe in Canada somewhere. Rich Keith is going to be joining TLDR. So while we talk, so we can talk about our favorite comic book character, Red Hood, Jason Todd, this week. So very excited to do that. This is a totally new thing that for TLDR, at least, never done something like this. We're focusing on one character for an entire episode.
I like that. A little Red Hood character study with a couple of diehards, huh? That should be fun. That's character good stuff.
Good way to position that. I like that, actually.
Well, you know, I am an ideas man.
You are. You absolutely are. You name TLDR.
Well, there we go. Okay, so when you guys make it big, I get, what, 10%?
There you go.
Okay.
10%?
Yeah, we'll get that in writing.
Okay. Get that. Yeah. Let's see.
It doesn't feel official enough. You'll hear from my lawyer.
I was going to say, that's your best and final offer. That's it. All right.
I guess I can't go higher than that now, right? I already set the bar. That's not good.
Yeah, you should have gone higher. Who knows? It's morphin' time. Wesley, what have you been
watching lately? Keep it short. Tell me right now. Thank you, Norris the Terrible. Thank you, Mac and Goo, for the lending the music to the main segment today. What have we been watching lately? A little bit of catch up as we've been away from the podcast sphere. We're now punched back in. We got our hard hats. We got our lunch pails. We're already putting some work at the old podcast factory, Nick. So we'll go tit for tat here. We'll go back and forth, run a little two-man game, two-man weave. You go first. You're the newly married man.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna start with
watching lately.
Something a little bit lighter here. Obviously, we got at least one big show to get to, but I'm gonna start lighter on some of the movies. Obviously, I spent some time in the air quite a bit, caught up on some shows, but also managed to watch a little Atlantis: The Lost Empire. And Wes, I cannot remember if it was just off air that we talked about it, or if we also talked about it on air. But as soon as I arrived in Santorini, I learned that apparently Plato's whole like explanation of Atlantis is based off of Santorini, which I believe, and I know I mentioned this earlier, mm-hmm. that there's two volcanoes like that the island surrounds. There's also a third volcano, an underwater one, that's between Santorini and Eos. So kind of cool. Never thought I'd be near a volcano in my life. Of course, after I see that, I'm like, I have to rewatch Atlantis, The Lost Empire. So the missus and I watched that. Obviously, if you liked that movie as a kid, it still holds up very mm-hmm. well today.
I agree.
What does not hold up, and that we watched this for the first time, and I knew this was going to suck, Atlantis, Milo's Return. It is the sequel to Atlantis, The Lost Empire. Have you ever seen this?
No, this feels like a straight-to-DVD type release here. This, I don't think this was a theater movie.
I believe it was, based mm-hmm. on the animation, also based mm-hmm. on the fact that Michael J. Fox is not Milo. You have Milo returning, and you don't have the guy who voiced him in the first one.
Yeah, he might be going through some his own problems there, you know?
Well, that's a fair point.
Who knows when the timing of that was, yeah.
That's a fair point. So maybe it's less on the studio and more just unfortunate timing. That's fair. But I really question that, not knowing at all Michael J. Fox's timeline, because this was so bad. Because you have the same, you have this similar like outlining of the characters from an animation standpoint, but where there's kind of a three-dimensional like view or animation to Atlantis, the Lost Empire, when we see all the different flying vehicles and everything, mm-hmm. everything's completely flat here. The coloring is very bright and just kind of basic. And then the voicing in the script is terrible. And then like the plot, it's like basically the whole, I'm assuming you don't mind me spoiling this for you.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just this once though.
The whole plot is basically getting us to getting Kida to realize, you know what, we can't keep living underground now that we have the capability to come above ground. And they go through these like three different random fucking trials that all seem totally unrelated to each other, but all serve this purpose. It's just very, very disjointed. Mm-hmm. So I would highly recommend not watching Milo.
Straight to DVD. This feels like a dollar bin, buy that you would get at like Blockbuster or something like that. You know, you get like five for $5. You pick out all these like random movies. I don't know. Maybe I'm dating myself here.
No, I think that sounds vaguely familiar. But I'll tell you what.
At your local supermarket chain, you go over to the entertainment section. There's a whole bin of like shitty movies that you can choose from.
If you're thinking about introducing this property to your kids, just introduce them to The Lost Empire and then wait a little while and then hope mm-hmm. they forget about it and then say, this is the sequel, and just show them the same friggin' thing.
Okay. All right. All right.
Devlin's bad.
We'll keep that in mind there. All right. My turn. What have I been watching lately? This is actually most recent. Cultural phenomenon, Barbie, available on Amazon Home Premiere. So I think the wife bought it. She's been itching to go see it. We were kind of in that in-between time where it wasn't really in theaters anymore. All the hype had passed, and we're like waiting for it to come back on demand there. But pretty good movie. I don't know what all like the political social discourse was about. You know, I think it's kind of crazy that there was the world shut down around Barbie, and it became like a real political discussion, or again, social cultural discussion. It's a decent movie. It's funny. It's definitely heavy-handed with some of its messages that they're trying to say, or themes of the movie. Mm. But it was fun. It was a fun time. Ryan Gosling, fucking hysterical the whole time. He looked like he was just like waiting for them to yell cut so he could break in laughter, because he did everything so stone-faced. And it was really good. I thought it was funny.
I'm pretty sure his Ken song like was like a built like hit somewhere on the Billboard, like top 100.
I believe it. Knuff,
whatever the song was, is that what it was?
Knuff? Or I'm just Ken.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go. That's what it was. I'm just Ken. Yes. That sounds right. Yeah. I mentioned
the musical numbers were funny. It was a good time. Like it was like surreal, you know, kind of being in Barbie land, and everything was kind of fake there. Like I thought that was interesting. Everything with Will Ferrell in the real world was dumb. That just seemed like a waste of time to me. But
it's odd.
It's funny because the movie, I came into it like halfway through. I'm wondering like, who is this movie for? Because again, it kind of, with those heavy-handed ideas, they are kind of like heavy, like weighted. You know what I mean? like they're like deep ideas. So it's like, is this really for kids? Am I underestimating how smart like high school, like teenage girls are now? Or like, cause again, like these are concepts that I wouldn't necessarily be concerned with at my age or at that, you know, at that high school age at that time. But then it's like, you see in the movie that the daughter doesn't care. You know, she hates Barbie, but it's the mother who becomes attached to her. Then suddenly it's like, okay, so this is for the mid to late 20s, early 30s women who are maybe introducing their kids to something they loved for the first time, right?
I would venture, like, if you're trying to be like specific on who was this made for, that would be my guess on the target audience. How did the Mrs. feel about it?
Yeah, she liked it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So did mine. She absolutely freaking loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun movie, you know.
I am trying to remember what else was out at that time because I know
Barbenheimer, yes, Mission Impossible.
That's what it was. I think I saw Mission Impossible and mm-hmm. Barbie the same weekend, and I still have not seen Oppenheimer. It's a sin I didn't see it in theaters. But
I know I want to see that too. Yeah,
yeah, but yeah. So I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, you're like, I hear you in like the logical sense of why did this become, you know, such a
But we shouldn't be surprised, thing. Right?
But that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, everything's polarizing today. I'm sure we've said something that's borderline polarizing.
Well, yeah, but it's like, you know, the obsession with Barbie is almost kind of coincided with like the explosion of Taylor Swift, who obviously made news yesterday for being in the box.
How about that?
Travis Kelce. It's like I was waiting for Susie Waldman to come up over on the mic and be like, "Oh my God, is that Taylor Swift in George Steinbrenner's box?"
That's
this is the greatest day in Chiefs history.
I'll tell you what, I was at covering a Red Sox game one time, and I was sitting with Steve Buckley, and then I think Nick Cafardo sat down, and then John Sterling and Susan Waldman sat down, and I was like, holy shit. Like it was very like odd moment for me, like because
seeing
like,
them in real life, yeah.
Because they're like they're legends, but also like Susan Waldman, I'm thinking about the fucking Roger Clemens thing.
But did you recognize them by face, or did you hear them talk and then like, oh my God, like your like sensors went off?
I'd seen them previously, so like at games, so like I know, like, and I Sterling's voice I knew, and then I put two and two together before I even heard Susan Waldman talk. Like I saw her with him, and it's okay, yeah, that's her. So,
because I waited on Chris Collinsworth once in New York with his wife and niece or something like that, or daughter, and I didn't recognize him right away, and I went up and took their order, and like the two ladies order first, and then he's like must have his like menu, or I'm not looking up it, I don't see him right away. He must have his menu on his face, and then he orders the mint julep. It was right around the time of the Kentucky Derby. I kind of talk him into it, but you hear the voice and I'm like, oh my God, it's like him sliding into the camera all over again. And then suddenly everything clicked, but the face didn't click for me right away.
Chris Collinsworth?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, but the whole Taylor Swift and Barbie thing, like I didn't really I don't understand the Taylor Swift like obsession. I know she's very, great artist and pop icon and all that stuff, but like this summer specifically, it's like she went to another stratosphere, and I don't fully understand it. And it's the same thing with the Barbie thing. Like, obviously, a great movie, it's a fun time, you know. But I don't know. This is also not for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to get over right now is when you said Chris Collinsworth, I was thinking of somebody else, and it really threw me off. Once you said the slide in, I knew who you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's the guy that has the he was on FX, had his own show, and he's now like kind of spun off and done his old thing. Shannon Sharpe's working with that company now. This is pissing me off. My brain's being really stupid.
Outkick? The guy who does Outkick there?
No, not Outkick. This is really pissing me off. Why can't I think of who it is?
Chris Rose?
No, not Chris Rose. What the fuck?
He was on Best Damn Sports Show.
Okay, the volume. Yeah, Chris Rose. So Chris Rose is, okay, Colin Coward. How did I get Colin Coward?
Yeah, I should have made that connection. Yeah.
No, you shouldn't, because that's stupid. How did I mix up Chris Collinsworth and Colin Coward?
Well, they're two together? C names, you know, two alliterative C names.
You're being too nice, and it's insulting.
Yeah. When's the first time back here? I haven't seen you in a while. Next week, I'll go back to being mean.
Thank you. Okay, that makes me feel better. That was fucking stupid. So I'm sorry, I couldn't register that was just said.
What have you been watching lately? Keep it short. Tell me right now.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna go to a show. So this is I finished a little longer while back, and I can't remember if I talked about it in the show. So I just wanted to touch on it. I will keep this one very quick. The Power. There is one season on Prime, and this is based off of a book. And basically, the whole premise is that something happens in the course of like, that throws off the world, and women start getting women of a certain age start realizing that they have a power. And it's basically something that's like a muscle, or I can't remember exactly what, that's in their collarbone, and it gives them basically the power of electricity. And it appears in different ways for these girls. And then with older women, they have it, but it's been dormant for a long time. So basically, like, things have happened in the world that have forced these women to, like, forced women to start, like, having this muscle be productive again.
So isn't it like the mutant gene? Isn't that some storylines in X-Men where it's like the mutant gene lay dormant for a long time and then something activated it in everyone? Wasn't that?
I think so, but I'm not certain right now off the top of my head. But it's like that, it's along those kind of lines. Like that's basically what it is. And it ended up really liking the show. Thought it was good. Like I'd give it like a solid like 83. But the reason it loses some points is it's a really criminally slow start for how good the show ends up becoming. Because it spends so much time developing the characters in like the first one, maybe two episodes, where it's like we're not even getting the whole power, like that whole thing's not really happening, and it's like an hour long episode, so it's just it's kind of strange the way that it was done. Like in the end, like it came around to an 83 despite the slow start. So it's a solid show, but it does take a little bit of a commitment because again, I think it's two episodes that feels slow. Out of
like eight, a Tristan Cassis type show, slow start comes on strong at the end of the year.
Exactly. Okay. Well said. But what have you been watching lately?
On Amazon Prime too. Okay.
Amazon Prime.
The Power, not to be confused with the 50 Cent show Power.
Yeah,
that's a popular show. You know, you just want to make sure out there. The makes a big difference. You need the article in there.
Fair. I didn't know this show existed. I'm going to look it up right now while you tell me what you've been watching lately.
Well, this was another movie that you saw recently, so I'm interested on your opinion on this. Is No Hard Feelings, the R-rated comedy starring Jennifer Lawrence. That was also an Amazon home premiere. Also a wife selected choice here. But I was happy to watch it because I had heard so many things about it. I know you had watched it, said you liked it. I think Mac liked it and as well. So I was eager to hear it. And again, public discourse on the movie too. So that also kind of, got my attention on it as well. And it was fine. I think the first 30 minutes or so where she's aggressively trying to seal the deal with this kid who says he's 19, but maturity wise, he's like really 14, maybe 15. And she's 32, 33. That stuff isn't very... like, that doesn't work for me very much, you know? Even the wife turned to me at a certain point and was like, what? This is kind of weird. She's coming on a little too strong here. It's not as funny. It's more of like an awkward vibe. But once she kind of tones that down, kind of draws it back, and they become, kind of develop that friendship, that relationship a little bit more, then you get like more of like the rom-com aspect of it, where it doesn't feel as raunchy as like the first 30 minutes were. And I don't know, maybe I'm a misogynist at heart. I just like the Amy Schumer, the Nikki Glaser, the Chelsea Handler type, like raunchy humor. I don't know. It just doesn't work for me from a woman for some reason.
You know, with Nikki Glaser, cause I do feel like I like her delivery. I feel like there are some, like, I feel like I find her funny.
It feels crass. Low-hanging fruit.
There's sometimes I feel like I think she's funny, but I think sometimes that she can do more than what she's doing. Like I feel like she's capable of more because her delivery is so good, and because there are other things that she says that aren't just sex jokes. I find her sex jokes funny, but like sometimes like it feels like you're going down the same path. But yeah, I mean, I'm not an Amy Schumer guy, so
Yeah, and it feels like some of them, like, it almost gets typecast. Like, they're all blondes. Like, why? Like, how does that happen? Like, it's almost like they all have the same manager, and, like, this is your only way to success, or this is your fastest route to success. And it's like, all right. But so I did get that type of, like, crass, raunchy vibe. That didn't really translate. But I thought there were some funny things in there. I loved the couple, her friend couple. She ends up selling the house to at the end. I guess that's a little bit of a spoiler there, but I thought they were very funny. Matthew Broderick was pretty funny. There was some good stuff in there.
I remember liking the movie. I like that. Like, but nothing where I'd say like this is like knockdown, drag out, hysterical. Like, it was funny. I had a good time. I liked it. I'm trying to find
the kid is just so painfully nerdy too. You know what I mean? It's like it's cringy at that point. And I wouldn't say it's fine. It's like a 79. Like, I wouldn't say it's the return of the R-rated comedy. If I had to put a score on Barbie, 83, 84.
I'm definitely higher on both. More so on Barbie than on No Hard Feelings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but actually, so you brought up like the comedians, and I was trying to remember, like, there's one comedian who I always forget how to say her name because it's whatever. Aliza Schlesinger.
Yeah. I've seen some of her stuff. She's funny.
I fucking love her. I think she's hysterical. Mm-hmm. And there's another girl, Taylor Tomlinson. That's the other one.
Oh, she just had a Netflix special up there recently. Yep.
Yeah. Lauren and I actually saw her in Boston. And I think Aliza's coming to Boston or was just recently in Boston. I was going to try and get her tickets, but everything with the wedding, I couldn't do it. But she has a bunch of Netflix comedy specials. Like, she's hysterical. I think she's one of the best in the business, at least from the people that I've watched. I mean, I know the other guy who was funny was from Dave, his manager. He had a Netflix special too.
Oh yeah, he's really fun. Andrew Santino.
Yeah,
he's a funny guy.
Yeah,
you know, when I think of my favorite woman stand-up comedian, the special that always comes to mind, she hasn't aged all that well, but is Ellen DeGeneres's Here and Now. I don't know, that always, I think I had that on DVD, or my brother had it on DVD. I would like watch it all the time. I thought she was really funny, but she kind of had that like Jerry Seinfeld observational, like very clean kind of sense of humor, or if there were sex jokes, they were, again, like presented in a way that's palatable for everybody.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I I've never seen her do stand up. I don't think I've never, I remember seeing like reruns as a kid of her old shows, 'cause I would just wake up at ridiculous hours of the morning, but that was really it. So, you know, well, but
a small, what you've been watching lately, since we're talking about stand-up comedy, the Shane Gillis special, he's been my favorite comedian for some time now. He's probably one of the tops in the game as far as popularity goes, but I subscribe to his podcast. Like, I'm a huge fan of the co-host. Like, I'm one of the dogs. I'm one of the dogs, you would say. But he just had his Netflix special, and that's great. The wife watched that on her own. She thought that was hysterical. I watched it a couple days later, cracking up on the side. So that's very funny. So I would recommend that.
So the new, so how many does he have on? I feel like I've heard this name, but I don't recognize this guy at all. Does he only have one Netflix special? Like,
he has one on YouTube. That was his first one, but this is his first like actual paid one. He released that one for free. It's Special Dogs, Beautiful Dogs, or something like that.
You must have talked about him on here before, and that's why.
Yeah, I've definitely mentioned him before, probably on like a Discharge Depot or something like that.
Ah, there you go. That would make sense. Okay. Let's see. So what have I been watching lately? Let's see here. Oh, okay. So the only other movie that I wound up watching in my travels was Kingsman, The Golden Circle. And it's a sin that I have not seen.
The first one though, right?
Yes, but I hadn't. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to see that. I did not see it right away. And these are Mark Millar comics, who's one of the best.
That's right. They are the comics. Yeah. Yes.
So outstanding stuff. And the way these are shot, so friggin' good, man. The action, it's like, I'm not one of the first people to criticize like Marvel or DC when it comes to CGI stuff. And I'm not saying they don't deserve criticism from time to time. Of course they do. But when I see the action in these two, and I have not seen the King's. Is it the King's Man? Is that the third one? I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's but not as good. I think it's probably goes in order for my ranking 1, 2, and 3.
Gotcha. But is it a steeper? Like I feel like 2 and 1.
It's a further drop off from 2 to 3 than 1 to 2. Yeah,
that's what I was figuring. Okay, and hoping. But with the action, the way they shoot them in these.
Mm-hmm, movies, mm-hmm.
It's not unparalleled, but it's man, it's some pretty friggin' impressive. I feel like this is what I haven't seen Wanted, and I do need to watch it because that's also a Mark Millar comic.
But oh yeah,
where they did the spin the bullet thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they were trying to be like Kingsman in that, like the way they shot it. I think
yeah,
they were trying to do that, and they just could not accomplish that.
Now that's good. So the funny things I remember from that movie are, or the things that stand out. Is Elton John being held hostage?
Yes.
Right. And then he's like the robot dogs won't kill him, or they can't kill him, or whatever the program not to. Yeah. But the other one is the early on when is it Julianne Moore who plays the villain in that? Right. She is trying to get someone new within the ring, the Golden Circle, or is trying to get out a rat or something like that. And she feeds him to the dogs or puts him in the meat grinder.
Meat grinder.
And then they make the other guy eat the cheeseburger of it.
Yep.
Oh, that stays with me. That's tough.
Yep. They did it. That was really, there's a lot of twists and turns along the way in that movie. And I don't want to spoil things for people, but if you haven't watched it before, like just fast forward on the episode right now for a couple seconds, what they did with Pedro Pascal, I thought was absolutely brilliant because mm-hmm. they totally think he's a double agent, and they didn't reveal it too early where it seemed like, no, this isn't what it is. And then in the end, it's like, no, it's because he has his own motives. He's like just a rogue agent right now. And I really liked that little surprise at the end because you knew he was coming back. You just didn't know it was going to be for the reasoning.
Yeah, and their Money Penny equivalent. I forget the actor's name. He's a that guy, you know. But he's like their teacher in the first one, who ends up coming. But he sings the Country Road song, right? Is that in the second one?
Oh yeah, Country Road. What the hell is it?
But that's a great scene. Yeah.
Yeah, Mark Strong. Yeah, I like him. He's the villain in the first Shazam movie, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Yeah, he's that guy. He's been in a lot of things. Yeah. I can never remember his name.
And him and Stanley Tucci are like separated at birth too.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
It's
yeah,
so
yeah.
weird how there's like way too many actors like that who just like, because there's like a few for Margot Robbie, speaking of Barbie.
Oh, yeah. This was one, speaking of old movies here, Anchorman 2.
Oh,
Netflix. That's a new recent ad on Netflix there. And I saw it originally. I don't think I saw it when it came out, but maybe when it was first released, you know, on DVD, HBO, all that stuff. So, and I wasn't impressed with it. But after giving it some time, just because I was like so excited for Anchorman, this movie's actually got a little bit of a bad rap. It's not a bad movie.
Okay.
I think it's funny. It's a little bit long. It's a little bit repetitive, but it's a lot. There's funny stuff in there, you know.
Okay. Now
it's probably the better of the two Anchorman fight scenes.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, this one's really expanded. You get Jim Carrey and Canadian News. You got
Will Smith.
You got Kanye. You got Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, who will come up in a little bit later. You know, everyone who was what's his name? What's the Civil War veteran's name from the South?
Oh yeah, it's John C. Reilly.
Stonewall Jackson. Excuse me.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Someone's a werewolf, right? In that.
Yeah, yeah. It's from that. It's like Nat Geo. They're like, hey, wait, now we're getting into mythological creatures. This isn't real history. That's not news.
I did enjoy that. That was a lot of fun. And then Vince Vaughn shows up at the end of that.
There is a crazy scene again. Like I'm not sure if this even gets made today. I'm surprised it got made whenever this movie was released. But where Ron Burgundy is dating the program manager, his boss, who is a black woman. I think Megan Good is the actress, and she takes him home to meet the family for the first time. And he's trying to assimilate by like speaking jive, and it's a very like well-to-do family. And it's the most like awkward laugh out loud moment. It's great stuff. And I think you go online and watch like the outtakes of it. It's even better.
Oh, actually, I've never seen that. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know if I can go and watch that though, because it's so friggin' uncomfortable. That was, I remember seeing the trailer for it, and that was like somewhat featured, and I was like, oh god, how am I gonna sit through this portion of it?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. It's funny, but it's definitely like, wow, they go for it.
You know what? Okay, did you say what you wanted to say about Anchorman? Because it just, yeah. Okay, so I didn't jot this one down, but I just remembered that I think like right before we went on the honeymoon, in that like week between the wedding and the honeymoon, what we watched, The Campaign, which I haven't seen since it was in theaters. And Lauren like kind of liked it. I can't remember how, but it was her idea to watch it. And she likes it. She thinks it's good. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I didn't love it the first time I saw it. I don't know why, but I got really thrown off by Will Ferrell cheating on his wife with the woman in a porta potty. It really took me out of it. Call me crazy. But watching it this time around, knowing that happened, I enjoyed it a lot more this go around.
It's a funny movie. My one gripe with it is Zach Galifianakis. He kind of plays like a similar character, that lispy character. Like, I don't know. It's all kind of like the same person, but it's a good movie. It's funny. It's not like A or B list Ferrell by any means.
No,
a C range movie, but it's watchable. It's a good plane movie, I think.
Yeah, I think now, like at the time, it just came with such hype because anything Will Ferrell did at that time was still insane. And then Zach Galifianakis was the guy. Right. Yeah, it's just like when Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart did, was it Get Hard?
Like that movie, though. I think that's funny.
I know you do. Hey, you know what? Maybe I need to rewatch it, too, because expectations. There's some proof right there. Maybe we should give Sherlock Holmes another chance, too.
There we go. I don't know about that there, but
I haven't watched it, but I feel like I need to just to know how fucking bad that thing was.
My favorite scene from Get Hard is when he is about to break out to Mexico and he has some disguise on and it's really just a mustache and he dyed his hair and he runs up to his old country club to go get his wife, Allison Brie, who's sitting around all her friends for lunch. And all her friends are startled when he runs up and they're like, oh my god, and they're all talking to one, and he's like, just shut up and eat your fucking salads. Like, he's got like running hair dye, like he's Rudy Giuliani, like coming down because he's sweating, and then like that's a great scene.
I forgot that Allison Brie was in that movie. Wow.
Oh yeah, very spicy looking Allison Brie.
I mean, yeah, she generally looks good. All right, let's see. So I know I just said that one, but I know you only have a few more, maybe one more left. Quick one. So Jersey Shore, that was, I believe it ended up making the hashtag dork, like movie or show list.
Top rankings. 50 shows of all time. Yeah.
I think it did. I know Mac maybe, and I had it pretty high. But I did not watch the original show when it first came out. I've honestly watched it since late last year. I started watching it with Lauren, and now I am all caught up, all the way up to Family Vacation. It's the only reality show that I watch like consistently. Occasionally, we'll watch some stuff.
Shocking!
I love this show.
Now, so I've said previously that I love that your wife opens up new doors to content, so you're not watching Transylvania and According to Jim all the time. Now I think she's gone a step too far. I think this is maybe too much. We gotta reel her and you back in a little bit. I don't know.
I love the show. I first watched it because I haven't told you this before. I don't know. But so my sister-in-law is from New Jersey, and sure, her bridal shower in New Jersey, and you know, I went down with Lauren because I was just a long ass drive down to Jersey, and it was just for the day or I can't remember the weekend, but I drove down with her, and on the way back she had watched Jersey Shore in college, and like this is where her and I are different. She watches it and like laughs at all the people in the show, and then she wanted to go and see the Shore House because it was on our way back. So sure, we did that.
We drove by there before, yeah.
Okay, so we did that. It's cheap as hell to go and just do a quick tour, understandably so. It costs like $5,000 or something like that to stay a night there. It's insane.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Ridiculous. But anyways, after that, I was like, okay, I got to give the show a look. And she fully expected me to watch the first season and then be like, okay, I'm all set. And I fucking fell in love with it. I don't know what to tell you. I watched it as this is a moment in time. And I thought it was like, I want to experience this and see what all the hype was about. And then I somewhere along the way went from like study doing like a historical study to getting all the way fucking in on it.
Yeah. This is what is it? Stockholm syndrome now? You're like sympathizing with your captures. That's there's a whole science and psychology around this.
There you go. Well, just let it be known, I am not the only person in the DXT though who likes Jersey Shore. I know Max.
No, you're far from alone. They've lasted for 20 years on the program here with spinoff shows, you know. But the situation shows still can't outrun the government, so
that is also true. But it is the spinoff shows, you're absolutely right. It's insane. I don't know exactly how many, but you have like the Floribama Shore, and then these other the people from Jersey Shore have their own spinoffs. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. And my last one here is Baby Mama, also on Netflix. This is Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. I know it came off with some misogynistic comments before, but I love these two. I think they're hilarious. This is my type of humor here. So not the best movie, but we got a baby at home, so this was funny to kind of see the process of it. And they got good chemistry together, obviously, from Saturday Night Live. So I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was pretty funny. Tina Fey is kind of like her, you know, an extension of her character, Liz Lemon, a little bit more buttoned up here. Steve Martin's in it. This is good. You got Greg Kinnear. It's good stuff. The one thing that really sticks out in my mind, what I'm going to spoil this movie for everyone, okay. But she hires Amy Poehler to be her surrogate. So she's Amy Poehler's married to Dax Shepard. They think that the baby is, you know, going to be Tina Fey's. Turns out that surrogacy thing didn't catch. Amy Poehler ends up being really pregnant with Dax Shepard's and her baby. And then Tina Fey gets pregnant on her own. Everyone has a baby. It's a good happy ending. But at one point in the movie, they go out to a nightclub where it's presumed that Amy Poehler is still pregnant with Tina Fey's baby, but she ends up being just pregnant with her own baby, and she's going out slinging drinks in the nightclub. And I'm like, you can't be showing this stuff, talking about like triggering. She's taking shots and getting hammered and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you can't do that.
I'm very curious how they
can promote that. Yeah, I think they try to get away with it because you find out almost immediately after that the surrogacy didn't take. So then she's not pregnant. But then like immediately after that, you find out she is pregnant, but it's with her baby.
Yeah. So,
was just getting hammered. So like, I don't know.
So still not great.
So that was my one big plot hole there. But other than that, it's a fun time, fun movie.
Don't think about it too much, Wes. Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah,
exactly.
Stop using logic. All right. So for me, I do have three left. I'll keep two of these quick, cause I am saving the biggest one for last.
Yeah.
So, Titans, I had fallen behind on this. I was rewatching, or was watching season three, had to rewatch a little bit. This is like the Red Hood season. So I wanted to catch up for that, especially with what I have planned for TLDR a little bit later in this week. So really enjoy I don't remember the actor's name who plays Red Hood, but he does a really good job with the character. Talk about that more on TLDR. Then Frontier. I have not finished this yet, and there is definitely a reason for it. Started just watching it recently. I had a lull for like
this
my own.
This has three seasons on Netflix?
Three seasons on Netflix.
Did it air somewhere else, or is this a Netflix property?
Netflix property, and it was its own thing. Like I remember when it first came out, like it had hype. It was like definitely getting like decent amount of like eyeballs based on like the only metric that we have that's public facing is the like top shows and top movies and like all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So this did well, like at least for the first one, if not for the second one. But I'll tell you what, the second one, like things go downhill, and then same for the third. And they basically just stretch out this one storyline for far too long, and then they like take Jason Momoa's character, who's like kind of wild and but also like very measured and smart, and then they kind of make him a little bit like he goes through some shit, don't get me wrong, but he just gets completely like deviates from what he was, and it goes so far where it's like I'm not invested in you in the same way. And you spend too little time with him where you're telling like all these different stories, and the moving pieces is just like, why? Like, I don't understand. Like, it doesn't, like, how do these add up to the Jason Momoa story, which is like the main thing. So I'm going to finish it, but I'm like, I'm not like where I first started watching. I was like, God, I can't believe I put off watching this for so friggin' long. Now it's like, nah, okay. I wasn't in the end. It's a little frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the look of him. I just don't like Jason Momoa. He doesn't do it for me.
Okay. I'm curious. Did you didn't see that Fast and Furious with him, right?
No, but even in the trailers, like, I was like, I hate this guy.
You how do you feel about his Aquaman? I can't remember. You didn't care for him?
He's fine, but it was like cheesy and over the top. He was better in Justice League than the parts that I saw of Aquaman.
He's still cheesy in Justice League.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like him. But it was definitely, and I think some of it's the writing, but it might also be his performing too. I'm not gonna go and pretend Jason Momoa is like this, like, you know, crazy.
He's not an Oscar winner.
But I do enjoy like the character that he plays, but it's just, yeah. There's a lot of Frontier is definitely a flawed show, but one that has not been to this point, 6 of 8 episodes so far. The last one to talk about, Wes, is Ahsoka. I am all caught up I'm up to speed on this. Have you decided to get in on this show because of all the hype that's surrounding it?
No. In fact, great that it's doing well, but everything that I've heard, even through the positive reviews, it's like you need to know so much other stuff about it to really, like, grasp some of the gravity of some of the moments that happen. That's like, or to understand what's going on, that it's not worth it. What is it? The Clone Wars? Is that the big one? The
animated Rebels.
Clone Wars? Rebels, yeah.
Rebels, yeah. I mean, Clone Wars would be good to have watched, but, like, you know Ahsoka. Like, if you've watched Rebels, you also know Ahsoka from there, too. The one thing I will say for you, where I think you could get past some of that stuff and still really like this show, is Ray Stevenson's character. Mm-hmm. He's so fucking good in this show.
I've heard that he's been getting a lot of kudos for it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, and I feel bad saying this. I had forgotten that he'd passed away
he is dead. Okay.
Yeah. So I'd forgotten that happened. So when I'm watching his performance, like, and even when the first episode is like for our friend Ray, like I didn't even put the fucking people together. Because he's just not an actor that I know like that necessarily. So anyways,
he's kind of a that guy, you know, he's like, what's his name? Yeah.
So I watched him in the first episode, and his apprentice too, she's awesome. But I'm watching it and I'm like, I like his presence. I like the way he goes about himself and everything. He's like, he's, you know, you think he's a Sith, but he's not really, you know, it seems like he's a dark Jedi. We'll find out. It hasn't been officially said what he is yet. But man, like, that's a character I think that you could absolutely get invested in. I really, really enjoy what he's done so far, but in general, the show's just been outstanding. I have watched Rebels, so that does help me.
Well, so my question for you, and on maybe not personally, but generally from the Star Wars fandom, do you think that people have been higher on this show because what's preceded this from Star Wars Disney Television has been so disappointing? So to have something that maybe is as good, or, you know, something that resembles something good, just gets fans really excited, or is this really good?
I think
does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. And does it make sense that I can say both? Because I do think that I like Mando, but I was fine with Kenobi. I think I am higher on it than most, but I still say fine. Boba Fett, again, like, is, you know, there's a few good episodes in it, but they really dropped the ball. This is definitely, I love Mando. Mando. This is definitely the best show that we've gotten from Disney+.
Was Andor? Was that the other one?
Andor is really good too. I thought that was not going to be good at all. That thing kicked ass. That was really good. This is still way better than Andor.
And so better than anything from Mando 3 or Mando, not 3, but Mando of the 3 seasons.
Yep. I take this over. I love Mando. I love Mando. I love Bo-Katan. Obviously, who doesn't love Grogu?
Bo-Katan, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an island off of Greece that you went to, right? Still plays.
Yeah. No, she, like, I love I loved that show. I still do. I will say I don't complain about that show as much as other people do, because there are complaints. If you are complaining about this show, you better have not watched Rebels, because if you did watch Rebels, then you have no reason to not like this show. The pacing on it has been outstanding. The lightsaber fights have been awesome. And I'm not one who always needs them. Like, I know Mac's big on that. I don't always need them. They've been so fucking good, every single one of them. Okay. And this also has this, like, where we've seen a lot of multiverse stuff, and it's all been kind of like, I don't know. Is this going to work? Is it, or it's been like kind of fine, whatever. They tap into it a little bit here, but it's like they still do a very good job with it, and they're not trying to do too much. Like, they're finding the balance of keeping it simple, but also making there be a serious magnitude to everything that's going on. But I think some of that magnitude, this is where it would be tougher for you. I think some of that magnitude is from some of the stuff that you have to know
that's been building. Yeah.
Yep. That's the only thing. I'm curious if you gave it a shot, if you still would, like, how you would feel about it. But I think you may lose that slight element of it, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
Still
there.
Really, really good. Like,
Do they land the plane? Two episodes left?
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, there's going to be another season of this. So, I mean, like, if they don't land it, like, let me put it to you this way. I haven't thought about how they're going to land the plane at all. Like,
okay. So you've been enjoying the ride.
Yes, 100%.
And I like that. Okay.
I'm not as quick to think about landing the plane as like the rest of us in the TSG. At the same time, though, like, it's still like, at this point, it would cross my mind. Right now, not like, I'm like, I can't.
Well, I was going to say, you got two episodes left. You know, if you don't start thinking about it soon, you're going to miss the runway.
This is very true.
Sully Sullenberger type of situation.
You know what, man? I know you were frustrated with how this started off, but you have been on your A game since then. You just needed that, and then it jump-started you. But yeah.
A little motivation.
I think that, like, this, like, I'm very comfortable about where the direction that they're going in. There's got to be a second season of this. There's so much potential beyond this. So I'm loving what Filoni has done with this.
All right. Yeah. Filoni, not full of baloney.
Look at that. Look at that. Unreal.
Thank you, Norris the Terrible. And that is what we've been watching lately. Maybe share with us on Twitter at @CMM_podcast what you've been watching lately. And maybe we'll discuss it. Who knows? But this is good. This is nice to get back in the swing of things here a little bit.
Yes.
Which I should have mentioned this off the top, because that's, you know, what we should do with programming announcements. But from here on out, maybe we'll just do this with the Discharge Depot here. I'll hold off a second.
Choo-choo, bitches.
So yeah, programming announcement here. From here on out, we've usually done the live streams 5:15 Eastern time every Monday. But life happens. I got a kid now, you know, now that Nick's back off of, his honeymoon festivities there. New showtime, 7:15 here. So 7:15 every Monday p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll have the Change My Mind podcast. But Nick, you had a honeymoon, huh? You mentioned it a little bit. You touched on it a little bit here, but
yes,
all good things. Tell me about how you guys consummated the marriage, if you could.
I'll just say
extreme detail for everyone at home.
Extreme detail. Well, Wes, where do I start?
Let me take some notes. Hold on. Let me get a pen. Wait, are you muting yourself? Oh, I see. This is it.
Oh, shoot. I at my mic off? That's weird. Well,
that's a good bit. We need some lip readers out there. We need the Taylor Swift fan lip readers out there to see what was said there. Get all the juicy details. No, the wedding was beautiful. It was a great celebration. It was a fun time. I'm disappointed that I couldn't stay for any of the chicken dancing, you know, on the dance floor after
that. You got some moves in.
I tried to get it out a little bit there.
Yeah,
but not as much as Billy, from what I saw. Billy was cutting up rugs.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if you were there at this point or not, because it was a whirlwind of a night. As much as I feel like I processed a lot of the wedding, and everybody talks about like how fast your wedding goes. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, like I felt like I did a good job of staying in the moment and enjoying everything. And there's stuff I can still reflect on, but there are definitely some timeline things that I don't know exactly. And like this, and when you left, so Billy was, I didn't know Billy could dance like that. So I was like blown away. Then one of Lauren's college roommates, she like, I don't know if you saw her, short, very short girl. She could dance like she was like out of her mind. And then like somehow I kind of encouraged a dance off between the two of them. Billy goes off to a good start, and then she just fucking ruined him.
Oh like, yeah, it's just a matter. That's just a matter of time. He's only, you only have so many moves, and once you run out of them, you're like, you're just kind of stuck, right?
It was one back and forth, Wes. It wasn't like a ton. It was one Billy, and then her, and then done. Like, Billy didn't even try. And I don't blame him. Like, I set him up for failure. I feel really bad.
Yeah, but that's what you got to do, though, when you're trying to court a lady. Maybe he was trying to peacock, you know?
There you go.
Who knows? I don't know. Who knows? But no, it was a great time. And I do got to commend your brother, Jake. I think I told him this at the time, but just a great best man speech. And his command of the room is what I think I was really blown away by, more than anything that he had said. But he was walking around the room like he was cutting a wrestling promo in a ring, and he just had complete confidence and command of that whole stage, and it was impressive.
Yeah, he did. Not that I've never, my brother can public speak, but he's not like where I do it. We do stuff on air, you and I, like it's different. Like there's, you know, when I did his, I went in like I there's like a level of expectation I felt. So for him to go and do as well as he did, and then, and obviously I loved the speech in general, like it was, I was obviously proud and happy and all this and all the different emotions, but I was very, very impressed by how he did it. So I appreciate you complimenting him. I'm sure he really appreciated
it. Yeah, no, it was good. I'm telling you, wrestling promo. He was like the Rock out there.
Maybe he should do Change My Mind instead of me.
Maybe I should have had him actually come in and do some guest spots instead of like not posting anything for 2 weeks. And just come in and just have him be you. See if anyone noticed.
That actually, that's a real missed opportunity. And that would have been fucking hysterical.
Just Nick's comic book minute with him just the whole time, just being Nick. Yeah.
I would have absolutely just put together some notes for him for that one thing just to hear how that would all go. See if anybody noticed. Oh my God. That's such a good idea.
It's bad. That was a bad one. Yeah.
Oh,
maybe that's what you do the next time you want like a week off or something. You just hire Jake to come in and be you. And it'll be like, you ever hear about like Marcus and Markieff Morris, like one of them fouled out of a game and the other one just wore the same jersey and just kind of came in off the street.
We're not twins, but we look close enough alike that it could actually work.
You could pass. You could pass there. Yeah.
A deeper voice than me, though, so I don't know.
Well, I don't know. A little taller, too, but that doesn't show when you're sitting down.
That is also true. But this is a worthwhile test now. We have to find a time to do it. And you know what? Listeners, you guys got to be on your toes. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good there. That was fun. It'll be like, where's Waldo? You know, you got to find the error what was it? Highlights magazine. Do you ever play that as a kid where you got to like, you're waiting in a doctor's office. Maybe you had a subscription at home, but you got to find all the different, you know, I don't know. It'll be like a pen in a field or some sort of a scene. And it's like sitting in a chair leg and then you got to circle it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Something like that there. But nevertheless, the wedding, great time. Glad you had fun on the honeymoon. I've just been toiling away like a logsman, real blue collar work, just doing some work in the backyard, putting together a fire pit, which no one tells us. I got a big hail that kind of breaks up my backyard. It's like 10 or 12 feet high. We have a staircase that goes up there, and it's all flat. So the last year and a half, I've been working to like clear it out, flatten it out, kind of keeping everything open. So my first real move after clearing everything out was situating where I wanted the fire pit. So great, I do it. I dig this big hole. I want to get all these little pebbles and stones around so we can get chairs and then you're sitting on the stones. So great. Don't realize that like how many stones it takes to actually fill that up. Didn't really do the math. I was just kind of like flying by the seat of my pants sort of thing. But the problem is, because of the hill, you can't just get, you know, go to like a stone masonry company and be like, hey, drop me off 20 pounds of stones and then just bring it over. You have to buy the bags because that's the only way that I like from Home Depot, Lowe's or wherever. So they're like 20, 35 pound bags that I'm getting 20 at a time that I'm taking off the shelves from Home Depot, putting them onto my cart, paying for them, loading them into my car, taking them out of my car up the staircase to the whole pile. It's like a whole project. So it's taken me a couple of weeks now, and I'm not satisfied with the amount of stones there. I need more of it.
Sounds like so much fun.
But it's good. It's a good workout. Speaking of the workout that has now made me given me the opportunity to chop up all these logs that I have there as I've been clearing everything out. Bought an axe, been chopping wood. I feel like all I can think of is Tony Stark and Captain America in Civil War when they're on what's his name's farm there, Jeremy Renner's farm.
Yeah,
they're like, don't take from my pile. You know, chopping wood is actually pretty easy. It's not that hard.
That's
good to know.
Yeah, that is good to know. Speaking of workouts, are you in phase three yet?
I was, but I fell out of it. I fell out of the shrimp wrap zone. So I got to kind of get back together because I was sick for a little bit. Had a little bit of poison ivy, so like I can't work
again?
Out. Yeah. It was just at the end because I
get
clearing things out.
Okay,
it's what happened. So I had a tiller that I rented that was chewing up all the ground, and I must have just kicked it up to my leg. So
didn't know you were such a big Uma Thurman fan. My goodness,
She's a big fan of me.
Oh,
it's the other way. I don't want anything to do with it. I've had restraining orders. You just can't get enough of me. But yeah, so I've just been working away in the backyard at fall time.
When are we going to do an episode on that?
Poison Ivy?
Yeah, no. Is that Clooney?
Oh, yeah. Batman Forever.
Yeah, your favorite, right?
That might be Batman and Robin at that point. Yeah, that is Batman and Robin.
I can't remember. I saw him as kids. Like, it's been so long.
Yeah, Batman Forever is Two-Face and the Riddler. Nicole Kidman's in that one.
And that's Kilmer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. I got.
No. We got that was important. We needed to sort that out. So glad we got to the bottom of that. But next week, probably a TBD. We probably have it somewhere in our files here. But let's just call it TBD till then, huh?
Works for me.
All right. Same bat. New bat time, but same bat place. Caught myself there.